1, please, Romans chapter 1. Again, it's our privilege to be here with you today. And if little Sebastian says amen in his own way, just know that he's in it. You know, he's encouraging his dad. Romans chapter 1. We'll start reading here in verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be able to be in a church where your word is preached. Thank you so much for the message this morning. That was an encouragement to me. Thank you for churches like this one, Lord, where your word is the focal point of everything that happens here. Pray that that would be the case tonight. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be focused on what you have for us. I pray that you would use me as I strive to preach your word. Lord, encourage us and where we need encouragement, but challenge us and change us where we need that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans, the book of Romans is very much all the books in the Bible are very doctrinal, but the book of Romans, there's a lot of teaching and exhortation that we find there. And specifically, the first chapter, there's so much meat in there. You could spend months talking about Romans chapter 1 and even apologetics from this chapter. But we'll focus on the first part of Romans chapter 1. Paul here is introducing himself to a church that he has never met before. He's never been to Rome at this time. He doesn't know the believers by name. He has heard of the church that has started there in Rome. And he wants to encourage them, so he is kind of introducing himself. Again, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So he begins by introducing himself and also by bringing them to remembrance about who Jesus Christ is and the fact that Jesus is the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament and the one that came and fulfilled every one of those prophecies in the New Testament. And so he's telling them Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled all those promises. And then it says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And then in verse 4, he mentions a declaration that is made about Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. And declare to be the Son of God with power. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power. That's an encouragement to me, understanding who Jesus Christ is. Think about everything that Jesus Christ is to you and to me as believers. Jesus Christ is our source of joy, our source of stability in a crazy and ever-changing world. Jesus Christ is our peace. He is our friend. He's all those things to us. He is the Son of God with power. He is our source of power to be able to have a victory over any sin. Jesus Christ is all of that and more to each and every one of us. If we are saved, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So when Jesus Christ resurrected, that's the same power that lives inside of you and inside of me, helping us to live the Christian life. Being a Christian and really the gospel and the fact that Christ resurrected from the dead doesn't just help us to be saved, but it helps us in our daily walk. The power of the gospel living inside of me, being able to live the Christian life by his power. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, for the faith among all nations, for his name. So kind of letting them know who he is, what his ministry is. And notice verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Man, that's a great testimony, isn't it? the fact that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, when is our faith spoken of? Is it when things are going well? No, it's usually when there's trials, right? When we're going through a hard time, that our faith is tested and our faith is manifested to others around us. Verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." So you kind of see his heart being able to, or he wants to be able to go and spend time with them. Verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." So it's his goal, his desire, that they would be perfect, established, grounded in the word. Verse 12, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." I'm not sure if I'm on, brother. I don't know if I'm on, but I'll just stay around here. All right. But Paul here is he introduces himself, and he kind of lets them know what his heart is, what his desire is, to be able to be with them, to minister to them. And then we come to verses 14, 15, and 16. And in those three verses, we see some declarations that Paul made about himself that I believe need to be part of every one of our lives. So the title of the message is Declarations for the Christian. Declarations for the Christian. I need to be part of each and every one of our lives. Things that he wanted to make sure were the case for him. Notice in verse 14, he says, what are the first three words of verse 14? I am debtor. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He says, I am debtor. Now, we live in a society where a lot of people, for whatever reason, have developed a entitlement mentality, right? Sometimes people think they deserve certain things. I know sometimes people have that mentality about the government. You know, the government needs to pay for whatever, my rent, my phone, my food, my all these. Now, that's great that when they're able to help with some things, but it's not that, hey, we deserve certain things from the government. And sometimes as believers, we can start thinking that about our relationship with the Lord. God, I deserve certain things. And I don't deserve that they have this other thing and, you know, their life seems perfect. And God, how come my life is the way it is? And, you know, my life is not perfect and I'm struggling and I'm trying to do these things. God, and when we complain, we're letting God know, God, I don't deserve this. Sometimes we have that mentality when it comes to church. We think that the church is here for me, right? As soon as I walk in the doors, you know, people are supposed to greet me and say, hey, here you go. Here's your coffee. Here's your donuts. And here's our recliner set up just for you, you know. And do you need anything else? We can massage your feet. I don't know. But sometimes we think, you know, every ministry of the church and everything is just for me, you know. And they need to play the songs that I like. And they need to have the ministries and pastor needs to preach on these topics and do this for me. And now the church is here to help and to minister and all those things, but we need to be careful not to develop an entitlement mentality and thinking that we deserve certain things. Paul said, I am debtor. I am so thankful that when Paul understood what God had done in his life, he understood that he had something that he needed to share with others. Paul said, I am debtor to everyone, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians. And then he said, to the wise and to the unwise. In Mexico City, as I mentioned this morning, Mexico City is divided into 16 sections. There's one section in the southern part of Mexico City called Xochimilco. And I didn't put it on the video, so you didn't see that. But there's a doll that they have that's about this big. It's made out of wood. And they call it Niñopa. It's an idol. And it's very, very well known there in that one section of Mexico City. And what they do is people in the community will take turns having this doll in their homes. They'll bring it in, they'll put it in the room. And then people in the community, every single day, they'll bring gifts, they'll bring food, They'll bring clothes. They'll sing to it in the mornings. There's even stories, supposedly, that this idol at night goes outside and plays in the dirt, and then in the morning wakes up and the clothes are all dirty and stuff. And it sounds demonic to me. But they really worship this thing and they pray to it, and people say, well, you know, I prayed to it and they, you know, he healed my aunt of cancer and all this stuff. And people with, you know, supposed testimonies of the great things that this doll has done for them. And I think about the things that God has given to us. And, you know, as long as there's people that are bowing down to an idol, as long as there's people like that in Mexico City, that you would think, well, that happens in some village out there in the middle of nowhere. No, this is Mexico City. These are educated people. Okay, this is successful people that, for whatever reason, they're bowing down to an idol. They have this need to just worship something, I guess. And, you know, as long as there's people like that in Mexico City and around the world, I am a debtor. I owe them the gospel. And as long as there's unsaved people in this area, in Austin, in the surrounding areas, and around the world, you know what our mentality should be? We owe them the gospel. We are debtors. We really do owe them the gospel. That was Paul's perspective. Now, he could have thought, hey, I am Paul the Apostle. You know, I am the cream of the crop. I am the greatest. You know, I have zeal, and God has chosen me, and I'm a preacher to the Gentiles, and, you know, you guys serve me. But that was not his attitude. He said, I am debtor. Notice what else he says in verse 15. So, as much as in me is, notice these next three words, I am ready. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, Paul, if you read the first part of the chapter that we just read, Paul wanted to spend time with them, but the Holy Spirit had not allowed him to do that just yet. He says, I wanted to go. I had prepared myself to go. In verse 13, it says, the Holy Spirit hindered me. God did not want me to go at that time. But he said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why did Paul feel ready to preach the gospel in Rome? Was it because he had nothing else to do? Was it because he was, you know, watching cartoons and eating Cocoa Puffs? You know, just chilling at his house, you know, drinking lemonade in a hammock. Was that why he was ready? Or was he ready because he was able to take up a couple weeks off of work, and, you know, he had money in the bank, and now finally he was able to get away and spend some time in Rome? Or did he feel he was ready because, you know, he took this personal evangelism class in this college, you know, well-known college, and now he had a certificate that says, you know, Paul of Tarsus is now able to preach the gospel at Rome. What was that why he felt ready? No. Notice why he says he's ready. He says, as much as in me is. As much as in me is. I wonder, what are some things in our life that we are always ready to do? That we would put other things aside to do that one thing because it's important to us. Someone said we have time for what's important to us. It's so true. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have time to, you know, go to church, read my Bible, be a witness for the Lord. Well, we have time for what's important to us because we're using that time for other things. Paul said, I am ready, because he had a desire to be with them. As much as in me is. You know, I like playing soccer. I grew up playing soccer my whole life. That's probably not a shocker to you guys, but I just enjoy the sport. I enjoy watching it, which I don't really watch it anymore. It's just hard traveling and all that. But if at any point someone were to tell me, Brother Stefan, you know, we're going to have a soccer game right after church. You want to join us? I am there, okay? I'm going to be playing. Why? Because I enjoy the sport. I'll put other things aside. You know, I can do other things later. But it's important to me. I enjoy it. What are some things that we're willing to do and put other things aside in order to do that one thing? I wonder if preaching the gospel, sharing our testimony, giving out tracts, I wonder if that's one of those things. That we're willing to put other things aside because of the importance of that. He said, I am ready. Not because he had every answer to every question that people could ask him. Okay, if we wait for a moment, for that time, we'll never preach the gospel. We'll never witness. If we wait on, sometimes I used to wait for like this perfect scenario, right? I don't know what that would look like. Maybe I'm at a store and someone asks, "Oh, you know, I see that you're different. You dress different. Are you a Christian? You know, can I have a tract?" I don't know what I was waiting for, you know, to happen in order for me to share the gospel. But I finally got to the point. I'm like, it's not going to happen. Okay. The perfect situation, whatever I might think, whatever that looks like in my mind, it's not going to happen. Most times when we share the gospel, it won't be convenient. It won't be easy. In fact, many times when the Holy Spirit tells me, give him a tract, it's the most inconvenient and awkward time. But why do we do what we do? Are we going to do it because it's easy? Because it's convenient? Because it will never be those things. We are to do it because it's what God has commanded us, because we owe them the gospel, because it's something that we are ready, that we have a desire to do. Paul had a desire, great desire in his heart and in his mind to go to Rome, and that's why he felt ready. That's why. As much as in me is, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I don't know why I am saved and there's millions and billions of people in this world that are not, other than the fact that I understood the grace of God. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God in saving me. But you know what? I'll be the first one to tell you there's nothing special about me, why God would save me. There's nothing special about why God would use me in any way. I have no idea why, but you know what? That kind of, when I think about that, it reminds me, you know what? I need to have a great, as much a desire as Paul to be able to share the gospel with others, knowing that there's nothing special in me and I owe them the gospel. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So he said, number one, I am debtor. Number two, he says, I am ready. And notice number three in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. It's very easy to be ashamed, isn't it? When most of this world is doing things contrary to the word of God, when we obey the Lord in any way, you know what? We're going to stand out. We are. It's just going to happen. We're going to be kind of weird, or we're going to be different than everyone else. It's just going to happen. And it's very easy when everyone else is doing something else. It's very easy to be ashamed. I understand. I remember when God was just speaking to me and kind of getting a hold of my heart about being a witness and being just a testimony there at my school. I went to public school in California, and so it was very... I felt like I was I don't know of any other person that was saved in my school. There may have been, but that I know of, I was the only believer in my school, about 2,000 kids in the school. And it was hard. I remember when God was letting me know about those things and kind of challenging me, I would pray the different kinds of prayer at lunchtime. If you're familiar with like the I got something in my eye prayer, right? You know, dear Jesus, thank you for this food to help us, you know, and bless the day in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? Or the, you know, I got to tie my shoe prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. You know, and I would just come up with different things like that. And you know, I was trying, you know, God was working in me. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And I would just, you know, sit there and just pray right there with, you know, not being ashamed. But, It took some work. I'm glad God is patient. God was patient with me. But it's very easy to be ashamed. Now, Paul, I don't believe that Paul thought himself a great Christian. I really don't. In fact, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, if you remember when he's talking about the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, all those things, at the end, he asked for prayer. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul himself was asking for prayer. We would think, man, Paul doesn't need prayer. He's just bold and he's, you know, he's going to preach the gospel no matter what. But he was asking for prayer. Why? Because he was tempted just like you and just like me to just not do what we're supposed to do, maybe not be as bold, not be as out there, fanatic or whatever people might call it. But he asked for prayer. The main thing that helped Paul not to be ashamed, notice what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Well, he tells us why. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you remember life for Paul, life without Christ, what he was doing? Remember, he was persecuting Christians, putting them in jail. The Bible says he consented unto the death of Stephen. Whether it was taking them to jail or killing them or whatever it took, he wanted to stop people of the way, you know, Christianity, the followers of Jesus. He wanted to stop that no matter what it took. And then in Acts chapter 9, God saves him. He meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God gives him a new life, a new purpose. And all of a sudden, as much zeal as he had before, now he has that zeal to preach the gospel. But Paul understood what the overall change that God had made in his life. Paul knew, you know what? God has done a tremendous work in my life, and I want to do that for someone else. If there was anyone that understood the power of the gospel, it was Paul. And because of that, that's what he understood. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. You know why many times we are ashamed? We have forgotten the power of the gospel. Sometimes we forget what God has done in our hearts, where God has brought us from. Sometimes we forget it, and it's very easy. You know, if we've been saved for any length of time, we forget the drastic change that the gospel made in us. I'm so thankful for Paul and his encouragement to us. Hey, remember what God has done for you. Remember how powerful the gospel is. Remember how God changed your destiny from hell to heaven. Remember how he made you his child. How now you have peace. You're able to put your head on your pillow at night with a clear conscience. You know, you know for sure when you die, you'll go straight to heaven. Remember those things. And when we remember what God has done for us, we can have boldness. Because we remember, hey, there is something special here. The gospel, there is power in the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says to everyone that believeth. It doesn't say to everyone that is baptized, to everyone that joins a church, to everyone that does good works, but it says to everyone that believeth. And I'm so thankful it does say to everyone. There's a group of people that would want us to believe that Jesus only died for a few people. But I'm sorry, there's too many whosoever verses in my Bible for me to believe that. There's too many verses like this one that says to everyone that believeth. And I am so thankful that Jesus died for everyone and all. Just as much as all come short of the glory of God, all can come to him and be saved. Amen. To everyone that believeth. And then it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, they're all included. Jew, Gentile, everyone. But you know, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, if we're truly going to experience the power of the gospel after salvation, we're going to have to do that on purpose. How many of you have found out that it's a lot easier to do wrong than it is to do right? Right? Yeah. We have a sinful nature. It's a lot easier to be selfish than it is to be selfless. It's a lot easier to do what I want to do than to go out there and preach the gospel and be a witness for the Lord. So if we're going to do anything for the Lord, it's going to have to be on purpose. It's going to take a Christian to decide, you know what, there are some things that I'm going to make sure that are true in my life. I'm going to decide, I'm going to make some declarations about my life, like Paul did, that there's certain things that I will do, certain things that I will not do, because I am a believer. I will make sure that my perspective of soul winning, my perspective of people around me is not that, you know, they're a nuisance. Sometimes we look at unsaved people and they're a nuisance. You know, they bother us. And I understand, you know, that can get frustrating sometimes. But remember, unsaved people will act like unsaved people. Why are we surprised when an unsaved person acts like an unsaved person? Let's just remember, you know what? Without Christ, that's exactly where I would be. And I owe them the gospel. I don't like to owe people things. I don't. I hate owing stuff. Now, we do have a credit card. Sometimes it's almost a necessity when you travel with hotels and things like that. But we learned how to use it as our we are the master of the credit card. It's not mastering us, right? We're able to control. We're able to pay on time. We're able to get the benefits like points. You know, we've been able to do a lot. For our anniversary this last time, we were able to have a couple nights for free because of the points we had received from the credit cards and things like that. So we're able to kind of work it that way. But I don't like owing stuff to anyone. But you know what? As long as you and I live, we have to remember we owe people the gospel. Because there's nothing special in us. We owe people the gospel. I am a debtor. Number two, I am ready. Not because I took 4 years of Bible college. Not because, you know, I'm this great orator or because I can convince people really well, you know, and make them come. No, but because as much as in me is. Do we have that in us? In us, do we have a great desire to see people saved? That's how we know we're ready. Now, there's nothing wrong. In fact, we should memorize verses. The plan of salvation. We should memorize the Romans Road. All those things are great. But if we know thousands of verses, but we don't have a desire to share the gospel, what good is that? That's not going to help anyone. But if we know just the Romans Road, we know a couple verses, but we have a tremendous desire, God can use that. As much as in me is. And lastly, I am not ashamed. Are we ashamed? If we are, let's remember what Christ has done for us, how he changed us, and let's be confident that he can do the same thing in someone else. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the encouragement.